the number one comment I had from my followers was slow down, don't go straight for the goods.
Welcome to the Sensuality Academy podcast, where I share tangible techniques to help you embody your femininity, enhance your sex life, and elevate your relationships. I'm your host, Eleanor Hadley, sensuality coach and founder of Sensual Yoga. Now let's unleash your inner sensualista.
Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Sensuality Academy podcast. If you're tuning into this episode, chances are you're either a man looking to learn more about female sexuality and how you can be a better lover, big kudos to you, by the way, or B, a woman listening out of curiosity because you wish the men in your life had this information. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about exactly what it is that women wish men knew about sex, and you'll leave with a deeper understanding of the differences in arousal states between men and women, what you need to do to make her feel safe enough to open to pleasure, all about pleasure anatomy and, yes, the clitoris, the top things to avoid that turn women off, and so much more. As I started planning this episode, the list quickly got longer and longer, and I'm not one to cut corners. So, along with this podcast episode, I'll be hosting a masterclass on this topic where I'll be able to share even more and in more depth. So, head to the show notes now to find out more about how you can register. Now, clearly, this episode is going to be explored within the binary terms of male and female. In my work, I usually try to make my content accessible for all and inclusive of all sexes and genders. But for this topic, I'll be using gendered language as I think that there's quite a lot to unpack about the sexual relationship between cis men and cis women. So please keep that in mind as you listen and just take it with a grain of salt there. I want to speak directly now to the men listening for a moment. Firstly, thank you so much for being here, for being courageous enough to listen and open to learning. I promise you, the women in your life will thank you for this. It really shows a lot of strength in character when a man is willing to learn and do better. It's actually really fucking sexy. This episode is designed to be an eye-opener, educational and informative. It is absolutely in no way an attack on men. I recognize that we're all heavily influenced by the society around us and how we've been raised and conditioned. In my work, I talk a lot about the importance of questioning our conditioning. So I'm going to invite you today to challenge your preconceived notions of what female sexuality is and how they experience pleasure, and to question your own conditioning around your sexuality as well. So last week, over on my Instagram account, which is at Eleanor Hadley, I shared a viral TikTok video, which had over 580,000 likes on just the original post alone. Like, this was shared a lot, but the original post had over 580,000 likes. And it was of a lesbian woman asking straight women to comment what it was like to have sex with men. And in true internet style, the comments were pretty savage, to say the least. And if you're interested in seeing what some of these were like, you can check out just a small sample of the more than 32,300 comments in the original post that I shared to my Instagram feed. It's linked in the show notes for you. So as an example, women were sharing things such as, "Ever been disappointed? It's like that. Imagine if your delivery driver eats your food in front of you. Sometimes they just forget you're even there. It's like how a dog would feel thinking it's going to the park only to end up at the vet. It's like waiting for the beat drop that never comes." Whew. In short, there's not a great reputation out there for you fellas. Again, stick with me. This is not about shaming men, but it's important to recognize that there are an overwhelming amount of unsatisfied women out there, because their pleasure is never being prioritized. And I know you, good sir, want to be part of the solution. So after sharing this, I asked women to write in and share with me what they wish men knew about sex. And today, I'll be sharing these responses, plus a lot more tangible tips from my experience as a sensuality coach and sex educator. I also highly suggest that you listen back to my previous episodes, particularly episode 10, which is gourmet sex versus snack sex, episode 19, polarity and unlocking your most delicious sex, and episode 26, which is the 6 keys to sacred sensual sex. These will all help so much in addition to what I'm going to share in this episode. So make sure you go ahead and add them to your queue now so that you can listen to them next after this episode. All right, let's get into it. I want to start by asking you to humble yourself, and I'm going to help you out with this one. It's almost a guarantee that a woman you have had sex with has faked an orgasm with you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure of it. No, not every woman and not all the time, but yes, it's likely happened and you've likely been totally unaware. We're pretty good at it, unfortunately. I know the ego takes a little bit of a hit hearing this, but let's exercise our empathy for a moment, shall we? Consider how awful it must be to have to consistently fake orgasms, to not experience the ecstatic pleasure of an orgasm, that you just resign yourself to faking one purely to assuage someone's ego. Yeah, that's pretty shitty, right? Let me share some facts with you. There have been studies out there that show figures of up to 80% of women admitting that they regularly fake orgasms. In fact, in a study conducted by the Kinsey Institute of over 52,000 people of all genders and sexual orientations, when looking at the percentage of how often people experience orgasm during sex, they found this. 95% of the time, heterosexual men experience an orgasm. Awesome, right? 95% of the time getting an O. Fabulous. And then we kind of take it down to 89% of the time for gay men. For bisexual men, 88% of the time. And now we get to the women. Lesbian women, 86% of the time, they experience an orgasm during sex. Then you've got bisexual women who experience an orgasm during sex from 86% for lesbian women to 66% for bisexual women. And then what about the straight women? Unfortunately, they're all the way down the bottom. Only 65% of the time do straight women experience an orgasm during sex. So if we're looking at straight couples, for example, straight men, 95% of the time versus straight women, 65% of the time. This is what is known as the orgasm gap. The fact that straight women only orgasm around 65% of the time during sex while their male partner climaxes almost every time. And so essentially what this indicates to us is that the likelihood of a woman experiencing an orgasm significantly decreases when a man is added to the equation. So again, I want to cast your eye back to lesbian women were at 86%. Versus bisexual women at 66%. So that's the introduction of a man, right? Oh, ouch, I know. Another couple of figures for you. Some studies have shown that 75% of men ejaculate within only 3 minutes of penetrative sex, whereas 73% of women don't experience orgasm through penetration alone. We're going to talk a bit more about this later, but this is why focusing on all the other sexual acts and outer course before penetration is so important. So this is a problem. Women deserve pleasure too, but our society consistently ignores the fact that women may actually be sexual beings and may actually enjoy sex, which is pretty ridiculous if you think about it. Not only the fact that it's assumed that women don't enjoy sex as much as men, but that if we actually believed that, men would still want to have sex with someone they legitimately thought didn't enjoy the act. Now, this episode is absolutely focusing on what men can do to make sex more pleasurable for women, But it's important to recognize that it's not just on men. This is a two-way street. And this is why I do the work that I do, predominantly for women, to empower them to learn more about their bodies and to reclaim their pleasure in a world that consistently tells us it's not a priority, or worse, that it's selfish to focus on ourselves. If you're a woman listening to this episode, I implore you to learn more about your sexuality, your body, and your pleasure. This is definitely going to take some unpacking of conditioning, of potential trauma, and some active work to explore your own body and yourself more. And this is where I come in. So if you want support on your journey towards connecting with your sensuality and your sexuality, be sure to check out the link in the show notes to book in for a free chemistry call with me or to book one-on-one coaching. And if you're a man listening to this, I want you to understand that many women feel very disconnected to their bodies. We haven't been socialized the same as you. Where masturbation was a common topic among teenage boys and is something that we assume men do and don't really judge them for women, it was something that was rarely, if ever, spoken about. I know many women who still don't self-pleasure to this day, or only started in their adult years. There's a lot of shame around female sexuality in our society, and especially in certain cultures and religions too. This is why sex ed and representation and education is so important, because so many women grow up feeling like their body is not for them. We're constantly told through magazines, TV, movies, and media that the female form exists purely for the male gaze, for men's pleasure. And I know perhaps this sounds extreme, but I really think it's important that you're aware of this. Not only that, but a huge proportion of women have experienced some form of sexual harassment. And as a result, many women can feel even more dissociated from their body and their pleasure during sex. And there also might be trauma responses that block her from allowing herself to experience orgasm. Now, this is a whole topic of its own, but something just to be mindful of when relating to women in general. So, now we've had a chat about those things, let's get to the top six things women wish men knew about sex, shall we? Firstly, number one, every woman is different. Every woman's body is different, and every woman's preferences are different too. There's nothing worse than assuming that what a previous partner liked or what got them off will work with someone else. It seems kind of logical, right? But you might be surprised at how many women have told me that they've had men rudely comment that, well, it worked for my ex. Yeah. So let's talk about bodies. Of course, we all know every human body is super unique. Everyone has different sized noses and ears and muscle definition. Some are tall, some are short, and our genitals are the same. Some women have small labia, others larger, darker, lighter, longer, shorter. Some women have natural pubic hair, others choose to wax or shave. Some women's clitoris is higher, some lower, some have a larger clitoral hood than others. Basically, just like you and your dick are unique, so are women and their vulvas. And we have total bodily autonomy and can choose to do with our vulvas what we please. Never, ever comment or shame a woman for looking different to what you have seen before, because you haven't seen everything. It's a surefire way to kill her sex drive, and it's just a shitty thing to do, let's be real. Take the time to learn her body and what she likes. You may have had a previous partner who loved having her nipples sucked and bitten, but another woman might be repulsed by that and might be way too painful for her. And some women might love being fingered, while others can't stand it. So, this brings me to number two. Be curious, communicate, and ask questions. I had so many women writing in to say that it seems like men are often afraid to ask questions. And this is in general life, not just in sex. Honestly, this does go both ways. So let's check our egos at the door, shall we? And instead be open and curious to learn what our partner actually likes, if that's the spot, or if they'd prefer it slightly to the left. Be open to hearing what feels good for them and adjusting accordingly. Learn what doesn't feel good and share the same with her as well. It's about constructive feedback and exploration. So things you could try incorporating are, how does that feel? Is that the right spot? Do you want it harder or softer? Show me how you like it. Things like this let her know that you care about her pleasure and also open her up to being able to guide you and explore with you, as opposed to something as simple as tell me what you like, which could cause her to freeze if she isn't quite sure yet or isn't used to actually sharing this. I know that this does take a while to get used to actually talking quite openly about what you do and don't like. Communication is such an important aspect of good sex. Talking about it makes it better. So definitely check out episode 15, The Ultimate Conversation Starter for Better Sex, and episode 27, which is How to Talk About Sex with Your Partner, for more on this. Now this brings me to number 3, always seek consent. This could be an entire episode of its own, but let's keep it simple. As author of Women Don't Owe You Pretty, Florence Gibbon, she says, a lot of people are reluctant to ask for consent because they feel like asking kills the mood. But you know what really kills the mood? Sexually assaulting someone. Consent is mandatory. Consent cannot be assumed and must be explicitly received. Consent isn't simply the absence of a clear no, but instead it's the presence of an affirmative and enthusiastic yes. Consent can be taken away at any time. Now, a handy little acronym for you is FRIES, F-R-I-E-S. So, consent must be freely given, that is, not coerced. This is huge. Your partner must know that they can say no at any time without fearing the consequences. Many women are afraid to actively say no for fear of violence, aggression, ridicule, or simply because women are socialized to be people pleasers. And R is for reversible. This means that even if she starts off enthusiastic, that she's free to change her mind halfway through for any reason, and this must be respected. No matter how hard your dick is, how close you are, nothing. I stands for informed. Be specific and honest about what you'd like to do with your partner. For example, if you want to use a butt plug on them, ask them first, show them. Another example is with condoms. If you've agreed to use one and then you decide to take it off, that's not informed consent. It's sexual assault. I know this might sound so fucking simple, but unfortunately, there are men out there that do this, to the point where there's even a term for it called stealthing. It's assault. Plain and simple. It's putting both people's sexual health at risk, not to mention the risk of unwanted pregnancy. Anyway, moving along, because that's a rabbit hole. The E in this acronym stands for enthusiastic. Consent must be enthusiastically given. This is a fuck yes, not an, oh, okay, I guess. Because honestly, why would you want to have sex with someone who was simply obliging? That's not okay. It's selfish. It's creepy. And finally, the S stands for specific. This is why it's important to continuously check in. Just because they've said yes to you licking their pussy, for example, doesn't mean they're a yes to you sliding your fingers inside her. Ask specifically, don't assume. And no, this does not kill the mood, it heightens it. You can seamlessly work it into your dirty talk and use it to tease what's coming next. Here are some examples for you. You could say, can I take these off? Can I touch you here? Do you want me to eat you out? I can't wait to be inside you. Do you want my cock inside you? Does this feel good? And another great thing to say to create that sense of safety is please know you can say no at any time. It's so important. Consent is so important. And if you're still confused about consent, please, please do some more research. It's really important. Not only that, but safety is a huge factor for women and their ability to fully open up to pleasure and orgasm. If a woman doesn't feel safe with you, be that physically, energetically, or emotionally, her mind and her body won't allow her to really let go and experience deep pleasure. Let's move on to number 4. I had nearly 100 women write into my request for input, and nearly every single one of them had this to say. Slow down. I got responses like, nobody likes a jackhammer. It's not a race to the finish line. Take your time. Stop rushing. don't pressure me to come so soon. Essentially, slow the fuck down. If you take nothing else away from this episode today, please at least remember this one. Anatomically, women and men experience arousal and pleasure very differently. The biggest problem I see is that we're viewing sex from the masculine lens, that is, trying to do it like a dude. Whereas we would all be better off if we approached arousal, sex, and pleasure through a feminine lens. Let me explain. The masculine and feminine energies and the male and female bodies experience arousal differently. This is what I call states of arousal. Men tend to experience arousal from the inside out. That is, from the genitals first. Think about it. You get turned on and whoop, erection, right? And maybe eventually the rest of your body starts to feel more sensitive, like when she nibbles your ear, grabs your booty, runs her fingers along your spine. Men's arousal tends to be akin to the energy of a puppy, you know, very excitable and always ready to play. And conversely, women tend to experience arousal from the outside in. That is, they generally won't feel wet, lubricated, or turned on in their pussy until much later, after you've worked your way in. Arousal starts from the edges and moves inwards towards the genitals over time. Our arousal state is more like the energy of a cat. We can be trepidatious at the start and take our time to trust and warm up to you. I always explain it in this way, like fire and water. So imagine you just filled up a pot with water from the tap. That water represents the feminine. You head over to the stove and turn on the gas. Click, click, boom. The flame is ignited. The fire, the flame in this example, represents the masculine arousal. Instant, right? You just had to press a button and it was turned on. But that pot of water over there is still cold. So you put it on the flame, and after a minute or so, it gets slightly warmer and warmer. Then it starts simmering. It's bubbling away. And then after a while, it's fully boiling. The lid's popping off. It's steaming. It's wild. But if at any point you were to take that pot off the heat or interfere, it would stop boiling. It would start cooling down. The bubbles would disappear. The spark would vanish. This is how feminine arousal works as well. Now, this is a very, very oversimplified version, and there's a lot more involved, including the sexual excitation and inhibition systems. That's the SES and the SIS, plus the accelerators and the brakes. But I only have so much time in this one episode, so for now, I want you to remember this. Take your time. I'm going to do a future episode purely on arousal states because there's a lot to unpack here. And I'll actually be going into a lot more detail in the masterclass for you. So make sure you register for that in the show notes. But to touch on it here, I want to share with you what I call the 8 gates of arousal. These are essentially the different steps to pass through before you even consider penetration. So, number one is connection without touch. So a lot of people will say that sex starts from the first look. You know, the whole sexual experience, it's this long drawn out game, right? And connection without touch is that first look, holding a steady gaze with someone, holding their eye contact, talking, having conversation, getting to know each other so that you feel that deep connection. And you feel ready eventually for more touch. Then number two, second gate, is touching the non-erogenous zones. So this is holding hands. This is, you know, a light touch on the arm during conversation. It might be a hand on the thigh, maybe a hand on the lower back as you're walking from dinner. Then gate number three is touching the more erogenous zones. So this might be your first kiss, kissing. Also, this doesn't apply to just first dates. This is kissing on the mouth, the neck, the ears, these sort of zones, getting, you know, closer, more intimate. then gate number four is taking it down closer towards the breasts. So this might be kind of gently massaging the breasts, holding them, giving them a little squeeze. Be really gentle with the breasts. Some women don't like their nipples being touched too much. Some love it. Again, check in, ask questions. Then gate number five is, again, getting closer. So this is maybe the inner thighs and the outer lips of the vulva. So the external, from the outside in, touching there, taking your time. And again, as I say these, this isn't like boom, 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 tick, tick, tick. This is taking your time with each step, with each gate of arousal. Then number six, you've got the inner lips, the inner labia, the clitoris. So that's working again in closer and closer. Take your time, explore, let her feel deep pleasure open up to you. Then you've got number seven, which is the entrance to the vagina. This is still just the outside, just the entrance. And then finally, you have inside the vagina, and there's a whole world in there as well. G-spot, A-spot, K-spot, P-spot, all the spots, the cervix. There's a lot going on inside the vagina as well. But if you can see through this eight gates of pleasure, we don't have a conversation and start kissing and then suddenly you're fingering her, right? That is skipping way too much. And again, like I said, the number one comment I had from my followers was slow down. Don't go straight for the goods. Remember this and pay attention here. It can take up to 40 minutes for a woman to be physically, energetically, and emotionally ready for penetration. On average, between 20 to 40 minutes, but I always recommend leaning longer to give her body time to be ready to receive if you're planning penetrative sex. And when I say penetration, this means fingers, toys, and penises. So to quote one of my followers, foreplay doesn't mean finger me straight away. Okay, gosh, I could go on and on about taking your time, but let's just leave it at these two takeaways. One, don't go straight for the pussy. Two, slow the fuck down, buddy. All right. The next most popular response was number five, don't forget the clit. Now, because you've paid attention, I know that you're no longer going to go straight for the clit once things start getting hot and heavy. You're going to take your time to tease her and work your way towards the goods. But when you do, you're going to pay attention to this magical part of her. Did you know that the clitoris is the only body part that exists purely for the purpose of pleasure? It literally has no other function, just pleasure. There's over 8,000 nerve endings in the clitoris alone. That's wild. It's all pleasure. Penises, they're multi-use, but the clitoris, only pleasure. So don't forget about it. The vast majority of women don't orgasm through penetrative sex alone. 73%, remember? So the clit is where it's at. Yes, we are multi-orgasmic and have the potential for over seven types of orgasms, including the explosive clitoral orgasm. But many of these will take time and really understanding your body. Remember the eight gates of arousal. Internal implosive orgasms tend to happen after plenty of lead up. Plus, blended orgasms, including the clit, for example, penetration with her on top so that you're hitting her G-spot plus some skillful attention paid to the clit at the same time will generally amplify her pleasure. But again, everybody's different, so be sure to check in and see what she digs. Many people don't actually know that the clitoris is much more than just that little pearl at the top. It's actually shaped like a wishbone under the surface. What we can see is only the tip of the pleasure iceberg. It's actually got legs or crura that go down around the outer labia and bulbous glands on the inner labia that engorge as we get more and more aroused. So don't be like a mad DJ frantically rubbing it back and forth, please. Instead, massage it around and down. This is really hard to describe verbally, but if you come to my masterclass or catch the replay, I've got a 3D model of both the clitoris and the whole vulva, so I'll show you in much more detail. I want to add a note here as well about lubrication. Yes, often when we're super aroused, we'll get that whoop, that wet-ass pussy, but there's also something called arousal non-concordance, which I won't go into too much detail here, but essentially this can be where she's aroused, but her pussy isn't super wet. And the same goes in the opposite direction too. Plus, being wet from arousal is different to our natural daily discharge, which is incredibly healthy and actually indicates to us where we are in our cycle and our level of fertility. The female body is just quite incredible, but that's a whole other topic. So keeping this in mind, again, this is where you listen to her words and check in to see if she's ready to receive, to be penetrated. Sex can be very painful without adequate lubrication. In fact, up to 60% of women experience painful sex. A lot of women also have health issues like endometriosis and PCOS, which do make sex painful too. So important to check in and listen to your partner and work together to find a way to experience sex that is not painful. And again, can we take a moment to exercise our empathy here? Can you imagine sex regularly being painful and being expected to continue or just to put up with it or told that it's normal? No. Sex should only ever be painful if it's intentional and consensual and an agreed part of the act, like in BDSM or something. So, my point here, for the love of God, don't be shy about using lube. It makes everything better. It makes everything more comfortable and it heightens sensation. Please use lube. And in the words of another follower, don't rub a dry pussy. Having some lubrication on the labia and the clit during penetrative sex as well is always helpful to enhance pleasure. It doesn't have to just go on and in. And finally, for now, number 6, consider your environment. This is all about creating a vibe, the right mood, and cleaning your goddamn room, buddy. So I've mentioned, and we'll go into this much more in the masterclass, that women need to feel safe in order to really drop into pleasure. Part of this is feeling comfortable. There's something called the sexual inhibition system, the SIS, which acts like the brakes to our arousal. And then conversely, there's the sexual excitation system, the SES, which acts as the accelerator. But with the SIS, the inhibition system, essentially, we are consciously and unconsciously scanning our environments consistently for threats. We're more acutely aware of our surroundings than men tend to be. We have this diffuse awareness, and that's what makes us fabulous mothers, right? We know what's going on at all times. Whereas men often have more ability for focus on a single thing, like sex. We both have our superpowers, right? Basically, there are a lot of things that can get in the way and distract us from being fully in the moment enough to actually let go and in turn experience deep pleasure and orgasm. Therefore, the environment plays a huge role here. Now, again, I highly recommend listening to episode 26 about the 6 keys to sacred sensual sex. For more on this, it's one of my most popular episodes and one that I've had so many women message me about saying they wish the men in their life knew about. But I'm going to share some things directly from my followers with you. Here are some tips to get you started. Firstly, clean your room or the house or wherever you're going to get it on. Now, this extends to you and your personal hygiene as well. Shower and scrub up beforehand. And this should really not have to be said, but unfortunately, I had a lot of women write in to say this, which indicates that it happens too often. Don't forget to clean your dick. Under the foreskin too, mate. Also, very important is to make sure your nails are trimmed. can be really painful if some dude's got sharp nails and he's trying to put his hands inside me. Ouch. Make sure there's no dirt under your nails as well, and that your hands are freshly washed before you even think about putting them anywhere near our vulva, let alone inside us. Please, hygiene is key. And our vaginas are really, really sensitive. Our pH can be thrown off by chemicals and dirt and everything. So please be considerate there. Tidy up before she comes around. Mess can be so distracting. This means putting things away, not just in a pile in the corner. Take pride in your space. Make your bed with fresh sheets. It's honestly so gross to have to question when the last time you washed your sheets was. I had so many women write in to say this one. Fresh sheets. Clean your sheets. Actually have sheets on the bed. Oh gosh, it makes me shudder what some women have been writing in about. And also another popular one. Have more than one goddamn pillow. And as so many women wrote in to say, if you want me to stay over, make sure there's a decent pillow for me and not those awful flat pancake ones. Pillows are great. Have multiple so she's comfortable. They can be great for propping up your hips too. Lots of pillows. And this one is huge. Set the mood with low ambient lighting. Pitch black with the lights off isn't sexy. And many women actually shared that it feels kind of insulting if you turn the lights off as soon as she gets naked. Remember, we need presence to build trust, to drop into pleasure. This means we need to see you. We want to connect with you. Now, I know that there are quite a lot of self-image, body image issues that come up around lights. So this is something to consider. And it might be for yourself or for your partner feeling, you know, self-conscious about your body. And this just kind of goes back to creating an environment where you're worshiping each other's bodies and you're complimenting each other and telling them how like wonderful it is to be with each other, right? Like that feels really good and can help with any anxiety around body image. But just as pitch black, lights off, isn't sexy, on the other side, full on bright fluorescent overhead lighting is the worst. Please, I feel like I shouldn't have to say this, but I really do because I had so many people write in and I've had experiences too where, yeah, the lights might just be on full and it just really doesn't set the mood. So you might like to set up some candles or buy a salt lamp. Oh my gosh, salt lamps are amazing. They have this warm tone that really, really sets the vibe. Turn the overhead lights off, have some candles or a salt lamp on, even grab those electric candles, the ones that kind of even flicker to mimic a real flame. You can just get those at like Kmart or Spotlight or online somewhere. They definitely help because you want enough lighting to be able to see each other and like, you know, see those beautiful bodies that are mixing together, but not so much that it's jarring and blinding and it's just kind of clinical. Also, make sure that the place is aired out and fresh. Check in about using incense or any strong smells though, but make sure that it smells nice. It doesn't smell kind of gross and you've left food in the room and all that kind of stuff. Also, consider some soft music maybe playing in the background. This can really help to amplify the mood, but just be mindful of style. I know for me that it tends to need to be like sexy and sensual, nothing too high energy. And if it's music that I know the words to really, really well, I can get distracted. But that's just me. Check in with your partner. So all of these things will show that you care about her and her comfort. Plus, it'll make for just a much more sensual and connected experience. All right, so those are my top six things that women wish you knew about sex. Honestly, I have a lot more to share with you, but I really didn't want this episode to go for hours and hours. So if you'd like to learn more about how you can become a better lover, be sure to register for my upcoming masterclass, or if you're listening in the future, purchase the replay. You can find all the details in the show notes. I'll be sharing more on arousal states, desire types, spontaneous and responsive desire. This is really important to know. creating a safe space, understanding presence and how to be more present for your partner, the different types of female orgasm. So yes, that's the 7+ different types and how you can help her experience those. The pleasure anatomy. So I'll be showing you all about the clitoris and the vulva and the various erogenous zones. Turning on the ons and off the offs. So that's the sexual inhibition and excitation systems that I'll go into. And proper sex etiquette. I had a lot of women writing in about the things that really, really bug them about sex with men, and I will be sharing these things to make sure that she feels amazing and respected. I'll be sharing so much more in this masterclass, so trust me, your current and or your future lovers will thank you for it. Register for the masterclass via the link in the show notes now or at eleanorhadley.com/menandsex. That's eleanorhadley.com/menandsex. I hope you've learned a thing or two from this episode. If you loved it, please go ahead and leave a lovely 5-star review. Go ahead and screenshot it and share it with your friends on social media as well. And don't forget to tag me at Eleanor Hadley. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, stay sensual.